Not long in camp culture became Ira status quo. In the mornings, the Warriors would run and lift weights. Ira never spent much time in gyms, but this was different. The energy he felt from the team, the way his new body interacted with the stones, just easier, looser, better. After breakfast came targets and tactical training. He looked forward most of the afternoons, which he spent bonding with Vinegar, learning to care for, travel, and enter combat with the gargantuan reptile. After dinner came team bonding exercises and open-form strategy meetings. Ira was tired, but never bored, and that helped his energy level more than anything. When Drexa came out of the longhouse, stretching her limbs, the crew dropped their equipment to scattered shushes.
Line up," she said.
Warriors scrambled about, shoving each other around.
"You know the drill. Must I explain it every day?"
Despite her frustration, it had taken the Warriors less time to assemble into their lines and prepare for the targets than each day previous. Still, though, the momentum from constant roughhousing remained. Drexa stood atop a large metal box which rumbled beneath her. "Before I let these buggers out, I need y'all to take this very seriously. The clay birds are fun, but..." A warrior in the back made an explosion sound with his mouth. "Yes, very good," she said. "They go boom boom in the sky. Are y'all done?" She waited for a moment. "We've been at this for long now. There are no excuses. Each shot should be calculated. Let us not forget what we are doing, why we are doing it. In actual combat, hesitation can mean death. Spreading fire without control can mean death. With each one, imagine his face. Kavadi had the power, and the stupidity, to attack the most famous legendary alive right inside the Capitol building. He obliterated the walls. They're still in repair, don't forget. He killed two innocent people for simply standing in the way. What kind of person causes two casualties over a single target?"
"A madman," a woman shouted in the crowd of warriors.
"It was rhetorical," Drexa said. "But yes, a mad, something with a complete disrespect for not just authority, but every living thing around him. An animal, of no will beyond savagery. These pigeons have done nothing wrong. Some might even call them cute. But you must target the same emotional energy and training as you would in combat now. I want to see nothing less." Cumin leaned over to Ira.
"Is this supposed to inspire us?" he whispered.
Ira held back his smile.
"She's trying," he said.
Drexa bent over to pull the latch. The warriors hunched down, preparing to leap into the air. She pulled the gate, and hundreds of enchanted clay birds flew into the sky. Ira shot into the air amidst his competition. He targeted a bird in the crowd and flew headfirst toward it. His wings must have been 100 times bigger. He had no difficulty catching up. When he approached within lethal range, he threw fire at it. The clay turned red hot and began to melt. When the heat brushed its gunpowder innards, the thing exploded. Ira dove down, dodging the blast. He lunged toward the next bird, bypassing the explosions of those around him.
"Don't be stupid,"
he heard Drexa yell from below.
"If you get singed, it's your own damn fault."
After night fell, many of the dragons returned home. Ira waited, reaffirming his bond with his fellow trainees, clinging on to the feelings he'd never had with a hawker. Once they left, the cool, dark energy of an empty camp haunted him. But he didn't want to return home. He took to the skies until setting foot on a familiar mound of mud. Christian opened the door with a smile.
"Long time no see." He eyed Ira's osseous armor. "Looks like you're a big boy lizard man now."
Ira smiled and walked in. "It's been a lot of fun." He tossed him the worn pair of pants, coated in dirt. "Finally," Christian said. He patted them down with his palms, puffing dust into the air. "What do you use to wash those?" Ira asked. "River water?" Christian nodded. "It's what I drink, too. I have cleansing herbs to get the gunk out. How's Piasa?"
"Intense, but I'm learning a lot. And I have a dragon."
"No, you are a dragon." Ira laughed. "No, a real one. Her name is Vinegar."
"So you have wings, but you still ride a dragon?" Christian asked.
Ira nodded. "And what do they call you?"
Ira tilted his head to the floor and mumbled.
"Vinegar."
Christian erupted in laughter. "Try to explain that to me in a way that makes sense."
Ira walked over and smelled the cauldron, still steaming. "So," Christian continued, "are you ready to take down monsters and supervillains?"
"It's not really a joke," Ira said. "Kavadi is on path to being a mass murderer."
"Yeah, well, so is a wolf to cattle. Doesn't mean you can't kill a wolf."
Christian stirred his boiling concoction.
"Cows don't," said Ira.
Christian blew on his spoon, tasted what it held.
"I figured you were another wolf."
Ira crinkled his brow. What? Christian asked. He set the spoon by the cauldron. Cavati's just a guy. He feels happiness and heartbreak just like you do. He probably finds paper cuts real irritating. That doesn't really make this any easier. I think his bag is intimidation. His first move ever was to go after a legendary. Are you kidding? Who does that? Obviously, you know more than me, but in my mind there's no way he thought he'd actually kill her. He just wanted the council on their toes. Make the people squirm a bit. The trick is to not let him scare you. Focus on your similarities. Think the way he thinks. You probably aren't that different. Ira leaned against the table. Again, he killed people. And how did he do it? Said Christian, not missing a beat. By breathing fire. All he's got is the same magic tricks you do. No one is around fire as much as you guys at Piazza. You just gotta make him think you're more powerful than you really are. That's what he's doing. That's how you get the trolls to leave you alone? He twirled the ladle in the cauldron with his pinky. Not exactly. Ira looked around at the typical clutter of mason jars, ingredients, and books. That's a lot of talk from someone who never leaves this house. Christian shrugged. The world is dangerous for me right now. Someone is after you? He looked at his feet. Why do you think I live all the way out here? Why don't you go to the council? They'll protect you. My dad was sentenced to death by the council many years ago. He didn't deserve it. Since then, I've kind of lost all faith that they can do good at all. He was innocent? Christian shook his head. Possessed. Silence fell into the room. I'm sorry, Ira said. The world is terrible, inside this hut and otherwise, Christian said. His charming expression faded. At least in here there is less of it.
Hours before he returned to tattoo the next day, Ira skated to a coffee shop downtown. He met Evelyn and Brooklyn in the back, pulling up a chair and stowing his board beneath his backpack. Papers and books covered the inadequately sized table so much that he didn't know where to put his homework. Hey, Evelyn said. Brooklyn kept her nose in her book. Hey, Ira returned. Can I see your lab? Evelyn fetched the booklet from her backpack and handed it to him. You need to learn this stuff, though, not just copy, she said. The test is next week. We have a test next week? Ira asked. Evelyn nodded. Friday. Ira laid his booklet next to hers and began jotting answers. Don't just copy, she said again. What are you working on? Ira asked Brooklyn. She pulled the book down a smidge, exposing her eyes. World history, she said. So, Ira said after only 10 minutes of quiet study. Are you guys any closer? On the hunt for, you know. Shh, Evelyn said. Not you guys, said Brooklyn. Right, returned Ira. Sorry. His eyes met Evelyn's. Don't look at me either, she said. I hear the same stuff you do. So what have you been doing then? Ira asked. You know, up there. You really don't care about school at all, huh? Evelyn said. Conley asked me a couple days ago if I wanted a new lab partner. Ira furrowed his brows. And? Obviously I'm not going to get a new partner, but aren't you worried about failing? Ira smiled. I have no idea what my grade is in that class. How do you focus on biology when you're learning spells in your other classes? They're equally important, Evelyn said. In fact, my classes down here help me understand my ones up there better, and vice versa if I put the pieces together. You might appreciate that too if you showed up ever. I really don't know how using a microscope can help me blast clay pigeons, but if you say so. That's all you do up there? Blow stuff up? It's hard work, Ira said. And I have a dragon I gotta tend to. Brooklyn looked up from her book. I know about your stupid dragon, Evelyn said. Split dragons only care about physical achievements. The stuff you're doing isn't physical? It is, said Evelyn, but never without a book or a wand. You should try it. Ira smiled. You're mad because you can't breathe fire. Can you turn invisible? Evelyn asked. Phase through solid objects? Shrink? Brooklyn stuffed her book in her backpack and began to gather the scattered papers on the table. I'm fighting battles so you don't have to. Ira said. You'd lose every battle if it weren't for Faeus. Brooklyn laid her bag straps over her shoulders and paced out of the place without saying a word. Are you done? Evelyn shouted to Brooklyn, but she was out of earshot. I think she took my pen. We were kidding. She knows that, right? Ira asked. Faye's do everything. It was just a joke. She doesn't care about that, Evelyn said. We probably should have turned down the talk about you-know-where, you know? Ira looked down at his lap. Give me that, she continued. Let me quiz you. Ira slumped down in his chair. A half hour passed, looping cycles of wrong answers, jokes, and half-hearted explanations. Ira zoned out on the flower shop connected on the other side of the coffee house. Are you going to homecoming? He interrupted Evelyn. She paused her thought. Yeah, she said. Trevor asked me. Trevor Daniels? Ira asked. The dude who wears jerseys all the time? Evelyn nodded. Wrote it in candles after his game. I posted about it. Oh, said Ira, staring at his notebook. Are you going to ask someone? Ira shook his head. It's probably going to be stupid. Also, it's on Saturday, she said. Most people probably have dates by now. Yeah, Ira said. I guess I hadn't thought about it.
Thanks for listening. So this episode, kind of all about Ira. You got Ira in training. You got Ira visiting Christian again. You got Ira on the mainland with Evelyn and Brooklyn. On tattoo, they're kind of honing in their skills and definitely targeting with Cavati in mind. Drex is definitely spewing some propaganda about how he's less of a man and more of an animal. Christian's given Ira advice about how to defend himself against Cavati, or how to go about attacking Cavati. And that's pretty interesting just because we haven't really gotten into much about Christian at all, except for we do in this chapter. We know somebody's after him. We don't know why. But he talks a big game, and the trolls are terrified of him. But other than that, he just seems like a nice guy who makes potions all the time. Let's see. And then, of course, on the mainland, this is less exciting news, but there's obviously some sort of tension between Evelyn and Ira. She wanted him to ask her to homecoming, and he didn't. So one of her, as Brooklyn would say, her douchebag friends asked her. And Ira seems clearly disappointed in that, although he obviously had no intention of asking her. So let's see. Brooklyn has pretty much no affiliation with Tattoo anymore, and you can see she's building resentment about them even talking about it. So yeah, we're just kind of at the part right now where everything's building. And I would love to hear where you guys think this is headed, because there's obviously a lot of moving parts, and clearly a lot's about to go down. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. You can read these chapters at FletcherStories.com. Follow me on Instagram for updates. Thanks as always to All Ages of Geek for this host. Check out the other podcast if you get a chance. There's a lot of diverse material. It's all good. So yeah, thanks to All Ages of Geek, and thanks to you. Talk to you next week.